Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 273, part 1, Mount 2. Today is Friday, December 28th, 2012.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Tonight's tape is entitled Mount 2. Matthew 5 and 3 says like this: Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs, it says, is the kingdom of heaven. And I think that's something we're seeing very little of. Our TV Christians going for the ratings. I think we're anything but poor in spirit. We have been taught in one way or another to be proud, maybe of how much faith we have. But anyway, let's look at the audience that faces the Master. I think it's important that we go back now to what Jesus has to say. We're looking at the inner circle of friends, and in back of them is a huge throng of faces, a vast throng, huge amounts of people, and all these faces, a sea. And they're seeing Jesus live. It's made up of all kinds of conditions, a sort of a cross-section of humanity, if you will. Successful people. Now I might see someone very successful during the early part of my day, and then on the hobo bus at night, we see these people that are down and out. And probably he was looking out at all humanity and failures. People who have conquered and those who have been defeated. Rich people and poor people and literate people and illiterate people. People of different religions. And so the multitude that he faces represents a miniature world. And times when I go out and I'm ministering in the streets, ministering to a cross section of people. But of course, we must stop to realize our Lord, our beautiful, precious Savior, is no respecter of persons. The Bible says, let no one think more highly of himself than he ought to. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all men. Value, it means all men. There is no respect of persons with God, and there should be none with men. I mean, we live here for such a short while. By the time we prove how great we are, we aren't. Of course, we are the very greatest when we're at our own funeral. Boy, he was a great guy. He had his ways. But boy, he was a great person. But you see, anyway, when we fail to value aright any man or class of men, we are fighting against God. And every time we are certainly going to be hurt. It says, he that falls upon this stone will be broken. That's what that scripture means. Because an action and a reaction are equal and opposite. It's like two people side by side. I think of this, two men on a sheet of ice, each trying to push each other one towards the ditch. Well, suppose one does win. All this effort, and he's moved himself and his neighbor to a ditch. And so then the operation of this principle may be seen in all the ranks and places. And so wherever and wherever a man fails to give his neighbor his due, he thereby, I believe, to the same extent injures himself. When we know to do right and we don't do it, when we have it within our means to help someone and we don't, well, you say, I don't want to get involved. Well, we're just as guilty by not getting involved, becoming non-committal is a sin. And I think in our age right now, we have a lot of people in the church and also in the world that don't want to commit themselves to anything. You mentioned that you would like to get involved. Well, that's the first step, wanting to. See, this machine of providence brings vengeance on all the transgressors. I mean, as its awful wheels move around, everything that goes around comes around. Even the unsaved know that. Whatever the Bible says we mete out will come back to us. And so then showing no mercy when someone needs it leaves us bankrupt. I mean in the expecting any in the near future or in the future, whatever, for ourselves. I will give mercy to those that show mercy, whatever you plant, whatever you sow. So also then shall ye reap. Like black slaves, white men cannot push the black man aside from a right position without, you know, pushing themselves as far from the right character. And that's what God, after all, is after, is character. He's building character. He doesn't care about how popular you are with man. Doesn't care about your rep. Jesus, it says, was a man of no reputation. He lost it every day. Anyway, the loss that we suffer is greater than the loss that we inflict. you ever done something and everybody agrees with you and then you go home and you just feel terrible? And so then you go on trying to repeat that thing and trying to convince other people, and maybe someone of some intelligence will say, who are you trying to... who are you trying to get it across, to yourself or to me? Sometimes a lot of talking brings those things out. Who are you trying to convince? Oh, how we as Christians need to show compassion upon the wounded. I'm kind of thinking right now of the Christian field out there, the battlefield. It's almost like the Vietnam War when they put that on TV, and now they got this Christian battlefield going on where everyone can see it. And the world is watching and they're saying, you know something, there isn't a whole lot of mercy being shown here. I don't know if I could trust this brother. Maybe he'll throw a camera on me, or maybe he'll do some spying on me. I don't know if you can trust those Christians. And so by hurting others, we hurt ourselves more. We become loveless. And that's what's happened, isn't it? Maybe we'll become known as the loveless majority rather than the moral majority, or maybe they are one and the same. Maybe that moral majority that we preach about is really the loveless majority, and now it's coming out. That self-righteousness. And so I think myself, I would rather my condition be deteriorated by another's violence than my character be deteriorated by my own sin. See, man's foundation is not like the everlasting hills. No. You can't push another and yet not move yourself. But be sure of this, God is no respecter of persons. Value the young. We see so many young coming down here. And now that school is out, we're going to see a lot of young people coming down. Nothing to do. Nowhere to go. Stuck in the ghetto. No money. No clothes. Many one-parent family. So we must value them. We must not lie to them. We must be good examples. Live the gospel. Don't spoil them. Discipline them. Fight, I'm talking about, for your own. And don't let others just have their way with them. In schools, in friends. And so, parents, if you're listening, value your young. Care for them. Protect their hearing. Protect their sight. How you say? Watch your mouth and watch your deeds. Value, I'm also going to say, the rich. Don't respect one person over another, I'm going to say here. And I'm speaking here not of a Christian brotherhood, but of mankind as a whole. Because many got this way by cheating and stepping on others. But consider only their souls. Because that rich man's soul is more precious than all of his riches. And that's what God is looking at, isn't he? He is as precious as the poor. If he's redeemed, the Bible says he will walk with his Redeemer in white. Well, value the whore. Value the homosexual. Value the murderers and the drunks and those on drugs. Be no respecter of persons. Now, I'm not talking about there isn't such a thing as discipline. But I'm saying we have to see that man's soul. And after all, when someone that doesn't do any of these things is self-righteous, these people are above the so-called self-righteous. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of this whore, Jesus says to the Pharisee, the legalist, you will not make it to heaven. Jude 22 and 23 goes like this. And have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them from the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Don't be a respecter of people. Value yourself. Don't hold yourself cheap. Bible says your bodies are the temples of God, the body God has cleansed, that he may make it his dwelling place. Don't use it. Don't loan it out to demons. Don't let them slip into your skins and wear you. Maybe the demon asks, who are you wearing tonight? And so a demon knows if he can control your mouth, he can control your life. Even a religious spirit, even a pastor with a religious spirit can be led by demon power. I'm not talking about that he's possessed. I'm talking about that outwardly, if that preacher or that evangelist has a proud, haughty spirit, a condemning spirit, one that causes doubt as to God's wonderful salvation. I don't care how good he looks. There's something wrong there. The Bible calls it a religious spirit. And so value yourself. But anyway, as Jesus looks into their faces, he knows their value. Each one, and he goes beyond their faces and into their hearts. See, that's where we miss it. We don't know a person's heart. He sees they are all out on the same quest. They're all seeking the same thing. But then most of them are seeking blunderingly. They have been disappointed and doomed to future and deeper disappointment. That's the way it is even today. And so the master's heart picks up on a theme for the sermon of the hour. He sees all the lonesomeness out there, and he sees all the hurt out there, and all the rejection out there, and he sees their seeking out there. And he says, every heart here, he says to himself, is in search of happiness. Isn't that what we're all out for? How old are you, young man? 20 years old. Well, I'm 54 and I'm seeking the same thing you are, happiness. You know, there's a song, Your Happiness Lies Right in Your Own Backyard. You can go to the east, you can go to the west. Someday you'll come, weary at heart, right back where you started from, right in your own backyard. We're all looking for happiness, aren't we? But they have missed the way, most of them. He's looking out now at this sea of faces. I can do nothing better than point out the way they have missed, he thinks to himself. Therefore, he said to this vast audience, blessed are the poor in spirit. And he looked out, and there was poor in spirit there. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so I think the audience that Jesus faced long ago is much like the audience he would face here in Minneapolis. The heart of humanity remains unchanged 2,000 years later. If he was ministering, I'm saying, right on Hennepin Avenue, he would still be moved by compassion as he looked upon the multitudes. He would see them scattered. He would see them like harassed sheep without a shepherd. And if he were to let the fingers of his hand walk through the yellow pages, he'd find hundreds of churches. And if he were to ask the people, "Do you belong to a church?" many would say, "Oh yes, I'm a this or I'm a that." But he would find a lot of them that didn't know him personally. He would still find people doing 1,000 different things trying to find happiness. Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus is happiness. Yeah? You can go to the east and you can go to the west. Someday you'll come weary at heart, right back where you started from. What's that song? "Once I have found you, I'll never let you go." Once you have found him, never let him go. I think that's the way it goes. If you're listening on a radio and there's something that's causing a division between you and your ministry, something causing a division in your happiness with the Lord, well, let that go. But don't let Jesus go. Once you have found him, never let him go. How many are hearing this message tonight? So he would find the same thing. He would only find a few who knew the secret. Hid, it says, from the wise and prudent and revealed unto babes. He wouldn't be impressed by our lights and our movies and our arms race and our shuttle race and our flagging down there in the canal. He wouldn't be impressed by our scientific discoveries or who's the greatest Christian TV personality. That would not in any way. Would he? I don't think so. No, he would tell us the roadway to happiness is the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. There is a way that seems right unto man. That way therein is death. There's only one way, and that's the way of the Lord. Jesus can speak, of course, with authority about happiness because it was his constant companion. Oh, I know, I hear someone saying on the radio, "Well, wasn't he a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief?" Yeah, but in spite of it, he had the gladdest heart that ever did beat. The sunniest face, let's say, that ever looked out in this world. And those who share his poverty of spirit share his happiness. Can you understand that? Sorrow, I'm saying, will come, but it'll only be temporary. It says, "Joy cometh with the morning." It's happiness that abides. It is sorrow and sighing, the Bible says, that'll flee away. Who are the blessed folks? Who are those that find real happiness? Jesus makes it plain at once that our happiness is not born out of any kind of an outward condition or any kind of a circumstance. And boy, I'm sure glad about that. I'm sure glad that my circumstances and my conditions, things I've been in, that doesn't warrant where I'm going to be according to happiness. I am really glad about that. That's the secret. It's not what's outward, it's what's inward. But anyway, this truth sort of lies right on the very surface. I think it's one that has been established by the experiences of countless of millions, and yet it seems every man must learn it for himself. We still have that feeling that a happy man who is one who achieves some kind of an outward success. Blessed is a man who makes a fortune, we think. Blessed is a man who can write checks in the seven figures, we think. Blessed is a man that has a lake home, or blessed is a man who has won the applause of his fellow men. Blessed is a woman who has a rich husband. Blessed is the girl who has a boyfriend. Nowadays, they're hard to find. Boyfriends are hard to find nowadays. Well, some of them are gone the other way. They paired up with some other guy. Or they don't want, they want a roommate. They don't want a marriage mate, they want a roommate. Well, there's a nice looking young man. It's too bad he's only 7 years old. I mean, it just doesn't add up, does it? Where is your happiness anyway, young people listening on the radio? Well, you won't find it there. Not saying it isn't nice to have a friend. But Jesus says that happiness is not born out of what we have, nor is it born out of what we don't have. And when Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor," it didn't mean poverty itself is a blessing. But because it made ready the people to receive. See, when you have poverty of spirit, you can receive. I don't point out. That Sermon on the Mount, when he looked out at all of those people that had poverty of spirit, they were ready to receive. There was nowhere else having that's where also be able to perform. There is nowhere else to go. And right now, we are this close to war. Time is running out. Well, are you saying if a man is poor, he's blessed? No, I said, no, I didn't say that. No man is blessed simply because he's poor, nor necessarily is unblessed because he's rich. Because a poor man can be greedy and grasping and wretched, and yet a rich man can be truly blessed. See, happiness does not depend on what you have, nor what you do not have. And so if we seek happiness on the outside, we'll miss it, and we'll miss it forever. Happiness has got to come from within. It's something that you receive, and it is like a spirit of joy, and is a spirit of happiness, and it's on the inside. And boy, I tell you, there's a lot of power in that. When you got an inward joy, and you have that inward peace. Joy brings you peace. Did you ever have a good gut buster? And you get all done laughing and having a good time. And you get all done and you just have a sigh and you have peace. You want peace? Well, people will pay millions of dollars just for peace right now. So it doesn't depend on what kind of house you live in. See, it depends on what kind of a man lives in that house. It doesn't depend on what kind of clothes you wear. It depends on the person in those clothes. I watched a man, and he had on a pinstripe suit, and it must have been an $800 suit, and tailored just right, and the tie, and the diamond pin, and the watch. With Moscow time on it, Korean time on it, the golf time on it, the stock market time on it. I mean, you know, cuckoo clock, everything came out of the head. It probably had TV on it, too. And he had everything. And he had diamond rings on everything. And his hands were just like this. What did he lack? I was that same way myself. What did he lack? Peace. 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 Everybody's seeking peace. They want to be like that song, I got peace like a river. No, so it doesn't depend on the clothes you wear, it depends on the person in the clothes. Because them old rustler jeans, they'll get wrinkled, won't they? Them $180 boots, they'll get scuffed. Those cowboy hats, they'll get crushed. And those fancy clothes, the seats of them will get shiny. No. They'll just bring you pride in what you live in, the house or the clothes. See, but how you live out of what you live in can make the difference. You can be just as happy in an old torn pair of overalls, happier. And an old car, you can have that peace and joy. Or a Cadillac, it doesn't matter. If you have the strength and the peace and the knowing of the love and mercy and forever salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we stumble. People think you can lose your salvation every other day. It can't happen to you. Now a new one's coming on the scene. Well, you really can't lose it, but you can give it back. Neither height nor depth, nor principality, nor power, things present, things to come. No created being will be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus your Lord. Are you created? You can't do it. Is that evangelist? Is he created? Then he can't do it. And if we preach that way, we preach damnation unto ourselves. Well, maybe we'll be able to claim insanity when we get to heaven. For the many that are murdered, because we stood in the doorway, wouldn't let them through with our many rules and regulations. The Bible says the Pharisee, the Sadducee, they stand in the way, they stand in the door. They hinder people from coming in. Yes, they say, it's a free gift, but you can give your gift back. Well, Jesus has got the no refund. No returns accepted. That'd be like trying to take Jesus out of your heart and trying to turn him into the God. You're trying to turn God into a redemption center. And so we wrestle with scriptures, it says, to our own destruction, and we take the very simple thing and we complicate it and we confuse people. Is that poor in spirit? No. That's that prideful, haughty spirit. One of the things that God hates. Jesus said, the kind of man that is happy is a poor in spirit. That's where they were at. And boy, what a good starting point that is. Blessed, happy, it says, is the poor in spirit. Now you can start out. Now, if you've never been there, you're going to have to go there. But he arrives at this thing all by himself. Very few agree with that type of preaching. How ridiculous this must have sounded to some listening. How absurd to the Roman, whose nation, it says, had its foot on the neck of the world. Are you hearing this? how absurd it must have sounded to the Jews, who were even more proud than the Romans. And it still sounds unbelievable to us. I believe there were those who heard it and then shook their heads and laughed and headed down the mountain saying, what else can he say? Most of the people there are misfits. Sheep herders. Poor people. Well, we try to be a little more respectful than that. Yet, there are millions today who are just as far from believing what I'm preaching here tonight as then. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, this could be, someone said, when we got into a debate because they were into the prosperity thing. But you know, I can't get too excited, he said, for poverty. I mean, Jesus wants us to prosper. Well, even if we're only half convinced that the poor in spirit are blessed, one thing, you listening on the radio, one thing you can be sure of, the proud in spirit are unblessed. How does that hit you?
There you have it. That was part one of episode 273, Mount 2. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe you're a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy, you may call me RJ, you may call me Ray, you may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.